happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, and glad we still have Larry in the open to remind us to make noise so we can be heard.
I was just thinking about that today. We haven't, you know, we didn't have, when Larry died, we didn't have the opening when we were doing the show. And now people get to see him every week, and we should always remember his counsel. In the news this week, you know, we've been telling you about this Trump guidance on transgender people in homeless shelters. Well, they issued it officially, and at the same time, a week when there were three trans people in the United States murdered, and one who was brutally stabbed a couple of months ago, who can't get any action from the investigators.
Yeah, very sad. And also very sad, coronavirus has taken out the out gay chief of critical care at a Baltimore hospital. Terribly sad story, and a beloved gay flight attendant in West Hollywood.
In New York, transgender, queer, and gay candidates have been certified as winners in a sort of generational sweep of the election for progressives.
It's really amazing. Mexico City has become the first jurisdiction in Mexico to criminalize conversion therapy.
This is quite a story. The High Court in India has ordered protection for a lesbian couple from their families, and they're now saying that this has a lot of further significance for LGBT rights in India.
Well, that's sort of the story. Whenever anything good for us happens, then everybody starts claiming all sorts of other things will happen.
There's a backlash.
A pastor in Ontario, Canada, comes out as transgender and almost survives a vote of retention from her congregation, but not quite.
And Summerland is the name of a lesbian-themed World War II home front film from England, and it's being released this Friday.
We'll give you varying points of view about that.
So, Trump, that guidance we've been telling you about, that awful guidance, which basically says, how do you spot a trans person in a homeless shelter and get rid of them and all that kind of stuff. So they have issued that officially, but this starts the clock on a 60-day comment period. Is it worth bothering to comment on anything that they do?
Yeah. The same question could be asked about the Heritage of Pride town hall I attended online last night. It's always good to comment, always. I mean, you should not upset your life to do it, but yes, it's always good to go to the record.
The problem is the Trump administration is plowing ahead as if the Bostock decision from the Supreme Court didn't happen, which said, at least in terms of employment discrimination and in places, that sex discrimination, that anti-LGBT discrimination is sex discrimination. That's the new law of the land. Although you could, they're going to argue it only applies to, I guess, employment.
And so, federal employment at that. But the Trump administration is plowing ahead as if the Constitution as a whole did not exist. You had only to watch William Barr's testimony this week to reach that conclusion. They will do shamelessly and relentlessly anything they want until someone, I don't know what, grabs them and yanks them out of there. It's nothing stops these people. They obey no laws, and they are just out of control. So the fact that they are going to do this to trans people in homeless shelters, not a surprise.
Well, I mean, we obviously did watch the hearings, and I have a lot of friends who turned it off after 5 minutes. And frankly, I was kind of horrified by the Democrats as well. Only a few of them really asked questions that zeroed in and skewered him and got him on the got him on the record. They weren't interested in getting him on the record, most of them. They just wanted to give speeches. And,
that's not unusual. For most of the day, and he's such a liar and such a filibusterer that that's why they gave speeches. I couldn't listen to him for most of the day. Every time I'd turn on, I'd have to turn it off after about 10 seconds because he is so loathsome. But by the end of the day, late in the afternoon, I turned it on and watched a little more of it. I don't know why I was ready to then. And he continues to be loathsome. He is a.
Are you going to investigate Trump? Why should I? That's what he said. Why should I?
Horrible human being.
Yes, you smell. All right. So the other thing, one of the things he was questioned about was the lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act. And again, this is something from which that the Trump administration is trying to eliminate entirely and has already gotten rid of transgender protection. So there was a story this week that said President Biden could reverse the ban on transgender folks in the military within 30 days. And there's a lot of other things, a ton of things that he better do on the first day by signing executive orders, especially around reproductive rights and those kinds of things.
We'll get to that. But before I forget, I also want to recommend the Mary L. Trump interview in The Advocate this week. Very, very direct and meaty and good. She really
I thought it was a little chatty and
yes, in a good way.
Okay.
And I also
Mary, we'll ask you good questions.
Who did she do an interview with last week where she had really, she looked kind of scared and slumped over and ill-dressed in her first interviews.
Rachel Maddow, yeah. And then she did Chris Cuomo.
I didn't see that one. Maybe it was The View. Well, she did something where she'd really pulled herself together and really looked terrific and really was sharp and good. I think she's doing a great job, and I really recommend the Advocate interview as something that explains her whole situation and her history.
When I commented that she looked like she had a makeover from the day after the Rachel Maddow thing, I was castigated for talking about looks. But this is television. You know, I put a jacket and tie on for you folks. I mean, we try to look a certain way.
Well, I like the way she looks, and I think she's done a great job and is extremely thoughtful and intelligent, and I appreciate everything she's doing.
Okay.
Good for her.
So the backdrop of the reason we're raising this guidance from the Trump administration against transgender people, which you already know about, is that, again, the horrible atmosphere in this country for trans folks, the ongoing murder of trans women of color. In Louisiana, Keisha Hardy. Keisha Hardy, 24 years old, gunned down in broad daylight in Baton Rouge at 1 o'clock on Monday in the afternoon, found lying in the street and died at the scene.
Horrible. In the Bronx, New York, another black trans woman, Tiffany Harris.
Maybe. Have they verified that yet?
Well, that seems to be the most likely name. There was a dead name that was first used that was uncovered as not the right name. Tiffany Harris seems to be the correct name, although there are variations that have been put forth. Anyway, 32 years old, stabbed to death by a partner, former partner.
Well, that's what they suspect, and they have a picture of the suspect on a camera leaving the place, so that they're looking for him to find out what's going on.
And then in Akron, Ohio, a trans man, Brian Egypt Powers, shot dead, a black trans man, 43 years old. They're just coming at us like a tidal wave.
The bullet apparently pierced both of his thighs. Now, the police didn't bother to even recover the bullet casings in this case. And the family says the murder is not getting the attention from law enforcement that it deserves. He was a lifelong resident of Akron.
And in Chicago, black trans woman, Armani Washington, 25 years old, her apartment was broken into. She was stabbed. The thinking is that it was a former customer. She worked as a sex worker.
Right.
A customer who didn't pay and was angry at her. Her roommate saved her by interrupting the violent attack. But the police have dropped the investigation. She was hospitalized for a week. She was so badly injured.
Well, they slashed her belly, her arm, her forehead. So yeah, she was hospitalized for a week. Yeah. She says, when I told the police I was trans, they stopped calling back.
Well, and what do we have here? Last night in New York at a demo, a young trans woman is arrested and thrown into an unmarked van, like the police are doing, or the federal agents are doing in Portland. The behavior of the police and law enforcement, we just keep hearing these stories of terrible things that they're doing. And it's just horrifying what's happening.
As is the, can we move on to the the COVID crisis?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first we want to tell you that finally in California, healthcare providers and public health officials are now required to collect voluntarily provided sexual orientation and gender identity information. They weren't doing this in California. Governor Newsom and they directed it. And there was the assembly, I think, passed a law about it. So they moved on it. Now, it's the law in New York City, but we can't get any data. They won't give us any. It's been the law in New York for 4 years to collect this data, and they won't do it.
It just feels like
New York.
I don't want to catastrophize or overgeneralize, but systems are breaking down.
Yes.
And things are not getting done and laws are not being followed. Not that I'm a huge advocate of a lot of laws, but things are just not getting done that should be getting done. And things are not running properly.
Well, there's an expose on the contact tracing in New York, the big expose on that about it's like the worst place I've ever worked, and it's all for show that they hired 300 people, but they're not doing anything.
Well, I've always thought that government was mostly for show and not getting much done, but I think it's escalated. I think it's falling out of control. Okay. I think we need leadership committed to actually doing things. So anyway, the horrible COVID news this week in our corner of the world starts in Maryland, in Baltimore, at Mercy Medical Center, where the chief of the critical care division, Dr. Joseph Costa, died at the age of 56 of coronavirus. Out gay man, absolutely beloved in this hospital.
Hospital, by the way.
Yes. But not one that fired him for being married to another man. And he just kept working and working and working to take care of his patients. And finally, he succumbed to the virus. But he was so loved and honored that 20 of his colleagues and his husband,
David Hart.
I'm sorry, David Hart. They'd been together for 28 years, gathered around his bedside as he was dying and laid their hands on him to be with him when he died.
He's known for a wonderful bedside manner. And his colleagues said he acted more like an older brother than a boss, which is sweet.
He was a musician who played several different instruments. He loved to travel and just a great guy who is now gone to coronavirus.
And then out in California, a gay flight attendant, Jeffrey Kurtzman, 60 years old, with Hawaii Airlines. He died of COVID on July 21st. He tested positive after attending in Hawaii an in-person employee training session where even the limited CDC guidelines weren't followed. He wore a mask, but a lot of people didn't. He gets COVID. He was John Duran, a West Hollywood council member and the former mayor there, said he was heartbroken. He said they sang together in the Gay Men's Chorus. They were brothers in sobriety, and he was a sweet and gentle giant. Wow. It just now Hawaii Airlines says, oh, we'll do better now with our trainings. And now they want everybody to go back to school. It's madness.
It is madness, but it's more of the systems breaking down and things not working. Not good. But to save us all, Trump has come up with Dr. Stella Emanuel. She reminds me of the old Dionne Warwick psychic whatever.
It's hard for me to believe. I mean, I hope her medical license has been taken away by the time this show, you know, gets
there. Hard to imagine she has one.
She's a quack and, you know, deals in quasi-religious cures. And she's a very dedicated bigot. She says of the LGBT cause, who are the people behind this plot? What we do? It's the gays, the lesbians, the members of the New World Order, the Illuminati, together with ignorant Christians, but masterminded by Satan. Now, Trump is promoting this woman. And who else is promoting her? Madonna tweeted that this woman is a truth teller and, you know, it's the
alien DNA.
Madonna.
So I wouldn't have deigned to mention this woman, except that she is being trotted out to as part of the scheme to continue to promote hydroxychloroquine.
Because they bought so much of it.
Yes. And that is not what is being mentioned by the mainstream media. The Trump administration cornered the market on hydroxychloroquine, 63 million doses, and they're stuck with it. And they want to get rid of it. Why not give it?
It's good for other things.
Why not give it to those patients who now can't get it because we are storing it away for COVID, malaria, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis patients all need this drug and can't get it easily anymore because it's all been swept up.
I'm sure Louis Gohmert is going to want some. That pig. And he's got COVID now.
I hadn't heard
Louis
that.
Gohmert doesn't wear the mask, belligerently doesn't wear the mask. After the hearing yesterday, he's huddling with Barr, not wearing a mask. Then he goes to the White House because Trump is going to fly him on the Texas trip. He takes the test. You're positive. This man is literally the scum of the earth. He makes Jim Jordan look like a liberal.
And Herman Cain's on oxygen at the moment, I guess.
I know. I mean, come on, face reality. I do. I hardly go out. I've been invited places lately and, you know, let's have dinner outside. No, I'm not doing it. Don't ask me.
The new Senate Corona relief bill, by the way, cuts $1 billion out of global health funds, which means a blow to HIV/AIDS treatment around the world. We're just robbing everything else for this fantasy attempt to attack virus, not effectively.
All right. You want to tell me about Lady Red Couture?
Yes. Late breaking news to us anyway. I think it may not be so off the presses in L.A. Lady Red Couture, a legendary drag performer, trans performer in Los Angeles, dead at the age of 43, totally unexpected. Cause not entirely clear, was having some emergency medical problems, and boom, gone. People are just devastated in the drag community and throughout LA, where she was a real icon and another huge loss for who knows what reason.
I want to mention a couple of non-LGBT deaths. We also lost this week civil rights leader Charles Evers at the age of 97. He was the brother of Medgar Evers, the slain Mississippi civil rights worker back in 1963. And that's what sort of got him off whatever life he was leading into the NAACP and doing that stuff. And he became the first black mayor of Fayette, Mississippi in 1969. Such a breakthrough that he was getting praise from Democrats and Republicans like Richard Nixon. But he served five terms, and it was quite a breakthrough at the time.
Less gentle than his brother.
Oh, my. Well, he was more of a character, yes. And then Constance Curry, a white Southern woman, 86 years old, who worked to end segregation in the South, worked with the NAACP and Ella Baker, supported SNCC. She was sort of a bridge between the communities. And I also want to mention that, you know, I watched the John Lewis Coming Across the Bridge live on Sunday morning. I had it on. I was watching it. And I was very impressed with the fact that CNN's reporter, Victor Blackwell, while the casket is coming across the bridge, said, you know, and, you know, he didn't stop with this bridge. He didn't stop with this. He worked for women's rights. He worked for LGBTQ rights. And he worked for gun control. I mean, he talked about this in that kind of, he was really known for these things. It wasn't just something that he did. And then they had on the head of the Smithsonian Institute right after that, Lonnie Bunch, and he talked about the same thing. He talked about LGBT rights in the context of John Lewis. And I'm just so glad that it's getting integrated, because that's what we're working for, integration. And there's just one more, what do you want to say anything about?
No, go ahead.
There's just one other non-LGBT death I want to mention, because it struck me that it was Tony Elliott who started Time Out magazine. They call it Time In magazine now. But he created this, you know, 100 years ago, and it spread to 327 cities. But it was among the first to have gay and lesbian life as a weekly thing that they did in the magazine. And they did it all. They did it in many places all over the world. Started in London.
Okay, so I want to mention a couple of things. A documentary that a friend, a viewer of ours in Atlanta, sent for us to preview. Lillian Smith, Breaking the Silence. Lillian Smith was the author of the books Strange Fruit, novel, and Killers of the Dream, and they were both about racism in the South. You reminded me of it when you mentioned Constance Curry. A white Southern woman who dedicated her life really to working to end segregation back in the 1930s and 40s. She died some time ago, but there's a new documentary that we were able to see this week that is really terrific. And I think we'll be playing film festivals and will show up, I hope, all over the place sometime. Lillian Smith, and she was a lesbian, and she had started a camp for girls in the mountains of Georgia in the 1930s, and she fell in love with a fellow counselor, and they were together for 30, 40, 50 years until Lillian's death, and they were not out in the whole wide world, but they were certainly well known as out. They were friendly with Martin Luther King. They were friendly with other civil rights leaders who they spent time with as an out lesbian couple. It's quite a story, and highely recommend that people look at those books by Lillian Smith.
Well, even being willing to live the way they did was a risk and was pioneering. People just did it. They didn't talk about it. They just did it.
Well, but many people did live that way. And when we talk about Stonewall as beginning the movement, or as if there weren't people who were out and living their lives before then, I think it's very discouraging. And I think we need to understand that the heroes among us have been there for hundreds of years, thousands of years. And it's only recently that we've begun to write the history. So Lillian Smith, a very important figure as an anti-racist in the South 100 or 80 or 90 years ago. Well, and I would be remiss not to mention the death of Regis Philbin.
Oh, okay.
I know he's not your favorite, but what Regis was endlessly entertaining, even if you disagreed with everything he said or thought he was a Neanderthal in some of his thinking. But what I found so brilliant about him, and what's important to me and us, I think, is his style of broadcasting. Years ago, we used to be referred to facetiously as the Regis and Kathy Lee of gay TV.
You're dating yourself.
You know, we go back longer than that. I was struck by this quote of Regis's, spontaneity is everything to me, working without a net. And that's certainly what I try to emulate and appreciate it about him, his complete lack of a filter, his willingness to put himself out there to say anything that came out of his head. It went straight to his mouth, and it was endlessly fascinating to me.
Well, you know, he said he saw, I believe it was Jack Paar, he was working with him, and he saw him, and the way he just talked about whatever he was doing, just talked. He didn't use a script or anything. Should we adopt that style at the beginning of the show and talk about what we did last week? And
I don't think we need to. We did the whole show without a script, and we interpolate various personal details as we go along.
Yes, we do.
We don't want to bore this delightful audience with any more.
Well, it's amazing how interesting he could make that stuff.
Always.
You know, that's the thing. It used to be a local show, Regis and Kathy Lee. They had me on to debate the gay rights bill. But before the show, the producer kept coming to me and saying, "Now he's not comfortable with this." He said he doesn't do, meaning current events and things. He just didn't do it.
And gay stuff, I'm sure.
Or whatever. Just kept. So basically, you know, he just let me in the anti debate, and he hardly. I won't get into the whole story, but he didn't say much at all. And Kathy Lee, who was, a former protege of Anita Bryant, didn't say anything. All right, let's talk
that
about.
Sounds some horrible. Sounds awful, Andy.
I'm happy to tell the whole story someday.
And you will.
All right, let's talk about some elections in New York, some exciting breakthroughs.
Yes.
The first out trans people have been elected in New York as Democratic district leaders. This is a small unpaid office.
This is a big list of them.
Amelia Dakotin, right?
Yes, I think Amelia Dakotin, I would.
Dakotin and Melissa Sklars, who we know forever. And this is in Queens.
Who you've seen on this show several times.
Yes. Now, the first out gay district leader elected official in New York was a district leader, Ken Sherrill, in 1977. But these are the first transgender folks. They've both been long involved in politics, even though Amelia is pretty young. Sklars lost an assembly race last year, and they're now seeking to reform the county party. And Amelia was the youngest member of the state Democratic committee at 19 and then came out as trans at 20.
So they're both elected district leaders in Queens, along with out gay Zachariah Boyer. And then in Brooklyn, Sammy Namir Olivares and Julio Pena III are elected as out gay Democratic district leaders. And in the Bronx, Justin Westbrook Lowry, also a new Democratic out gay district leader. They're we're just taken over.
And, you know, we talk about Queens, and of course it used to be Archie Bunker territory, but it's now, of course, produced AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And wasn't she wonderful this week, taking on sexism in the Congress and seeing those words, her words, printed on the front page of the New York Times was a landmark.
I did have one small problem with that story, which was that Yoho, aptly named, the Texas representative who called her the effing B, to save all your sensitive ears, said his defense was, "I never said that to any of my colleagues." And the fact was, he said it to reporters, a group of reporters he was with, as he walked past her on the steps after their little confrontation. So his out is to deny saying that to his colleagues. And people who don't know better would think he's denying having said it at all. But in fact, he is not denying having said it. He is simply twisting it to claim that he didn't say it to his colleagues when, in fact, he said it to this crowd of reporters about her as he was leaving his confrontation with her.
We're kind of burying the headline on the elections because, there were lots of new progressives and Democratic Socialists of America types, replacing longtime incumbents. And one of them is Jabari Brisport.
Yes.
For the New York State Senate at the age of 32 in Brooklyn, a math teacher and an out gay Caribbean American. So that's quite a breakthrough.
It's enormous. And of course, now Richie Torres has been officially confirmed as the Democratic congressional candidate in the Bronx after heroically overcoming Ruben Diaz Sr., the legendary homophobe. This was, at the beginning of that race, people were not sure that anybody could beat Ruben Diaz.
Well, because Ruben Diaz had been in the state Senate, and then he wanted to come to New York in the city council, and he ran a big multi-candidate race, and he got like 40% of the vote, which would have been plenty in this race, in a multi-candidate race. And so they sort of thought, he's got the base. But he, it's almost like he didn't try Diaz.
It did feel a little like that, but it also was that finally, towards the end, the other candidates started to coalesce around Richie, and he picked up enough support, if not all the support, that he could win that race. So he and Mondaire Jones are expected to go to Congress as the first out gay black and Afro-Latinx men in Congress. Richie tweeted Mondaire, looking forward to causing good trouble with you, my brother. That'll be it'll be quite a caucus for
me. And the House voted for an Latino, what they're calling it, I think, Latino American Museum for the mall. When are we going to get our gay one, too?
Well, eventually. But they are not, of course, the first out LGBT people of color in Congress. Mark Takano, Asian American, Sharice Davids, Native American.
Sure.
So they are just adding to the mix.
Okay. Now, we're not prejudiced towards New York, but there was another story from New York. A non-binary person, Sander Saba, S-A-B-A, is suing Governor Cuomo and the Department of Motor Vehicles because New York does not have an X gender option on the driver's license. We have it now for birth certificates, I think. So he's suing using Lambda legal defense. And he says, look, it's Saba said, it is demeaning to be forced to carry documentation inconsistent with my identity.
I like that suit Saba is wearing. It seems strange that you could have an X on your birth certificate, but not on your driver's license.
Well, Pennsylvania is doing it now. They just voted to do it. So that's progress. And that must have been done administratively because that legislature hasn't even passed a state LGBT rights law.
Correct. As a different angle on politics and to get out of New York for a minute, North Dakota.
Oh, yes.
The state GOP convention passed a resolution that condemned LGBT people as having practices that are unhealthy and dangerous, sometimes endangering or shortening life, and sometimes infecting society at large.
Well, sounds like what Republicans are doing in the COVID crisis.
Exactly. But this was so over the line that even the Republican governor of North Dakota condemned this resolution
Doug Burgum is the governor. He said everybody should be free of discrimination. How about an LGBT rights law?
The GOP legislature has defeated a proposed LGBT rights law. But now the executive director of the party in North Dakota said that he regretted the offense that people took and will reconsider. And the executive committee of the GOP in North Dakota has disavowed this resolution. And I think
it passed overwhelmingly.
But those who supported it are furious that it is being taken away from them by fiat. And there's a huge fight in the Republican Party in North Dakota.
Who else would join the Republican Party at this point, which is led by an anti-maniac? Well, I mean, come on.
Come on yourself. The Republican Party controls North Dakota.
I know they control it, but that's why they're so upset, because who else would belong to a party like that now?
Trump still has a few supporters. And as you say, Jim Jordan is right there in the Congress doing
He doesn't have a few supporters. He has a lot of supporters, and I'm afraid of most of them.
Yeah, me too. All right.
Okay. All right. In Arizona, there was a rule in Maricopa County making it harder for LGBT couples for the last 5 years, denying them legal services from the county. So ACLU said, we're going to sue over this. Are you kidding? You know, people can get married. You can't deny gay couples. So they got a new county attorney, and she reversed the rule. She's a Republican, but she reversed the rule. And she says it's going to save us $750,000 a year, even though we're going to, the guy who instituted the rule has been elevated to the Supreme Court of Arizona. So
Peter Principle.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah. In Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, we told you, I think, about the grocery store that posted a hateful anti-LGBT message saying COVID is not real and not dangerous, but LGBT people are. Same kind of message that the North Dakota Republicans were giving. Well, they held a demonstration against the grocery store this last week. Hundreds of people showed up to protest for LGBT people and for Black Lives Matter. This is not downtown Philadelphia. This is Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. You know, there have been stories written lately about how the suburbs are becoming more integrated. This was written about after Trump tried warning suburban housewives against racial integration. Well, as people have pointed out, the horse has left the barn. The suburbs are a lot more diverse than they used to be. And
that warning was issued by Betsy McCoy. You didn't read the article?
No.
That's what he retweeted, her article, warning suburban women about racial integration.
Wonderful. That's a reference to my briefly college roommate that he's making. I haven't talked to her in years.
I understand that. In California, in Laguna Beach, vandals threw 5 Molotov cocktails at an historic gay bar last week. The 62-year-old Main Street Bar and Cabaret, it had been closed. The windows were shattered, but the bottles did not ignite, thank goodness. But the whole building could have gone up, and there were many other tenants there. The owner believes it was a hate crime. Awful.
In Tennessee, Union University is a Christian college there in Jackson, Tennessee.
Yes.
And they rejected the application of a nursing graduate student, a graduate student in nursing, not a grad student who was nursing.
Right.
Alex Duran, they told him that he violated their community values statement that he had signed because he is an out gay man and planned to live with his partner, I guess, in university housing. And they get to violate Title IX's rules against discrimination because they have one of these religious exemptions, and they can get federal funds, even though they
$40 million.
Well, my question is, why did Alex sign this community values statement? Please don't go to these places and let them know why you're not going. And
we don't know all the circumstances. I mean, sometimes, you know, this might be the most convenient place to get this degree, and it has a program that you need. It's tough on a lot of people.
I understand.
That's why we're saying, you know, we don't want these places to discriminate, especially hospitals and things like that, because people may have nowhere else to go.
Well, exactly. And I don't want to come down too hard on him, but really, I'm astonished that people sign these things. Call me naive.
And speaking of religion, the Second Circuit in New York has revived a challenge by New Hope Family Services challenging our state's regulation that prohibits discrimination on marital status or sexual orientation in adoption agencies. Now, they're not getting government funds. We don't want government funds. We don't want to be told what to do. But you know, the law says if you do these services, you can't discriminate in this way. And they basically want to cite the masterpiece cake chop thing in order to get. So the case is going to be reheard. This is different from the Philadelphia case that Supreme Court is going to hear in the next session, which is about an agency that does get federal funds, get state funds.
Well, people keep citing the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision as if it were about allowing people to discriminate, which is not what it was about. They never reached a decision on that. All they did was refuse to take the case because they said the Colorado Human Rights Commission had inappropriately debased their religious feelings or whatever in their decision. There is no Supreme Court decision allowing public accommodations to discriminate like that.
You can't be hostile to religion. All right. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals took the Bostock decision about anti-LGBT is sex discrimination, and they became the first federal appeals court to recognize that workers can bring sex plus age claims under the federal civil rights law. They're saying that the Bostock decision changed the legal threshold for showing bias. In other words, you don't have to be a group. You don't have to show it's systemic. It can just be about you and were they biased towards you?
Hard to believe it took them till now to get to that and took this decision to get there. But as we often bemoan the extrapolation of decisions like the Hobby Lobby case to then empower religious people around the country to discriminate, it's nice to see that this Bostock decision can have further implications.
But as you know, everybody's going to want our business now because there's so little business and people are.
If only that were true.
Change things. Well, in Indiana, the Court of Appeals ruled that legal name changes are now available to non-citizen and trans people. The Transgender Law Center brought the case on behalf of two transgender immigrant clients.
All right. And in Santa Cruz, California, we celebrate the marriage of Susie Bright to John Bailiff.
Yes. Well, she's bisexual, and even though she was the first editor of the lesbian sex magazine On Our Backs, and they raised a child, she and John raised a child together with her former partner, Honey Lee Cottrell. So, you know, it's modern.
Life is life. But congratulations to her, a pioneer in writing and editing erotica.
Her lawyers basically said, there's a pandemic, get married.
Right.
Yeah, for protection.
International news.
Okay.
Israel, they have banned conversion therapy in a first reading in the Knesset, their parliament. But it's all part of local politics, and it's expected to fail eventually. It's a pawn in the fight between the political parties in this new coalition that has kept Netanyahu in power. So don't be surprised if that disappears in further concern.
Well, things are infinitely more serious in Syria. Human Rights Watch just reported that gay and bisexual men and trans women in Syria are being targeted with sexual violence by ISIS and militia members who choose their targets based on your gestures, how you move your hands, what you wear. Do you care too much about your appearance? Then they rape you with sticks, beat you in prison, just to see you suffer. And then you try to seek help at a hospital, and they turn you away. So it is a desperate situation there.
Not to be belittling at all, but it sounds like the Trump administration.
Well, I mean, it's relentless.
Yeah. In Canada, in Woodstock, Ontario, two women are planning their wedding for a year from now, Mallory Arthur and Kelly Roberts. They have so far been turned down by the officiant they tried to hire and by the videographer they tried to hire, both of which are evidently illegal. They're getting a lot of support from others in Woodstock, Ontario. But it's imagine everybody you call to hire to work on your wedding says, sorry, you're disgusting. We're not working for you.
Nice. Also in Ontario, a Baptist pastor came out in a sermon and asked for acceptance. The congregation voted narrowly, 58-53, to terminate the contract of Junia Joplin, 41. She'd been the pastor of the Lorne Park Baptist Church since 2014. I know so much for scripture, you know, which says in Christ there is neither male nor female. It does say that.
That's in Mississauga, Ontario. By the way,
she's been invited to preach at a lot of progressive congregations. I hope she lands on her feet.
I'm sure she will. And I'm sure she'll gain a lot of self-respect that will carry her through this. But by the way, I don't know about Madonna's self-respect. In addition to supporting Dr. Emmanuel, it turns out that she's now accused of not having been fined $1 million by the Russian government, as she claimed last year, for being too pro-homo in her 2012 concert there. We don't know. She said she was. Others are saying now she never was. So,
in Saudi Arabia, one of our great allies in the Middle East, a Yemeni blogger was convicted for supporting LGBT rights, got 10 months in jail, a fine, and will be deported for posting a video supporting LGBT.
He was a refugee from Yemen, where, of course, there's a huge war going on. And he was in Saudi Arabia as a refugee. And someone just asked him, you know, what do you think of gay people or whatever? And he said, you know, live and let live. Everyone should be allowed to love. 10 months in jail, deportation.
Mexico City. Now, not only did they outlaw gay conversion therapy, but what struck me about the story is that you get 5 years in prison if you do this, and more if you try to do it to a minor. And, you know, the only time we ban it here for the most part is with young people. We don't ban it for adults, although some places tried to do that. This is the first jurisdiction in Mexico to ban it, but this is the first time I've ever heard about it being criminalized.
I also was wondering whether it covered just secular conversion therapy or religious conversion therapy. I haven't found the answer to that, but I did see that religious leaders were opposed to this bill. So I don't know if they're just opposed to it theoretically or whether it covers them too.
None of these anti-conversion therapy bills say that a pastor can't tell you not to be gay.
Well, that's in the U.S. That's in the U.S.
But you can't get reimbursement as a practitioner, basically. That's the way it works in the United States.
But I'm asking, this is Mexico, and I want to know whether Mexico has the same kinds of religious freedom laws that will exempt
invite our viewers to fill us in some more, and we'll be looking for more information. And you can go to gayusatv.org to be on our email list and to see our show. And
And to find out how to contact us to send us information.
Exactly.
Especially when we screw up. Okay. In Haiti, the president declared by fiat that a non-discrimination law for sexual orientation, at least, should be added to the criminal code. Thousands of religiously minded people marched in protest. This is not supposed to take effect for two more years, 2022. It could be repealed between now and then, or people could see the light.
Down to our last 8 minutes. In India, I think we told you about a high court decision that orders the police to act on lesbian couples' request for protection from their families after they got threats. But it's considered now the first affirmation of LGBT relationships. Yes, they got rid of the sodomy law, anti-sodomy law, but this is seen as building the legal foundation for marriage equality.
Well, speaking of which, there was and we should rush through because there's more to talk about in entertainment news. But the big story this weekend about Poland wanting to repeal their laws against domestic violence. Why? Because they think that this would lead to supporting LGBT people, because it would somehow muddy the waters about gender. It's crazy, but this is what's happening with this re-empowered Polish right-wing government.
And in the Seychelles, a trans woman is suing at the United Nations Human Rights Committee, claiming a lack of legal recognition for her gender identity. She has been trying for 10 years to get them to change her documents, and they won't. So that's why she's suing.
In Thailand, hundreds of LGBT youth have joined the pro-democracy protests against the military junta government that took over in a coup 6 years ago. And in Germany, the government is working on what to do about LGBT people thrown out of the military before they opened it up. They may compensate some of them. They may get rid of the bad discharges. No final decisions yet. We'll follow that.
Okay.
AIDS news. In San Francisco, the Board of Supervisors unanimously approved the repeal of regulations forbidding private rooms in bathhouses and mandating the monitoring of sex. So once the virus disappears, the bathhouses will reopen.
Okay.
Entertainment news.
Well, I want to recommend the movie Summerlands, which is coming out on July 31st from IFC. It's a World War II home front drama in England. I found it deeply moving with a lesbian theme, really. It's about a lesbian academic loner in the countryside who's prevailed upon to host an evacuee child. And she doesn't really want this. And then it keeps flashing back and forth to the present. I enjoyed it. Gemma Arterton played the lead lesbian there. And it's a story about love, life, loss, and redemption, and it moved me. But Anne?
It did not move me. I liked the landscapes, but that was about it. I found the story extremely superficial and not terribly meaningful.
The difference between us.
Well, we can't agree on everything. I was glad to have a chance to see it, but I was disappointed in it.
You want to talk about the Emmy Awards.
Yes. So I was on a big Zoom call last night, and I took that opportunity to read through the thousands of Emmy nominations. and I just wanted to...
I think literally. I mean, it's...
Yes. No, that's not an exaggeration. There are thousands. And... most of TV these days, most of whether it's mainstream, cable, streaming services, whatever it is, most is very LGBT friendly, has LGBT characters and themes all over the place, little mentions, major storylines, whatever it is. So to pick out all of them would be ridiculous. But one thing I just made a few notes of a few things. Unorthodox on Netflix is the story of the lesbian Orthodox Jewish woman who leaves the sect and has a lot of problems leaving. I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to seeing that one. I'll let you know what I think. I'm very happy that Killing Eve got more nominations with Jodie Comer, Sandra Oh, and Fiona Shaw, who I think are fantastic. A lot of homoeroticism in that one.
Billy Porter for Pose, but not any of the other cast.
Yeah, that was sad. I would have liked to see more nominations there, but he won last year, first Black gay man to win Best Actor. I'd love to see him do it again. Watchmen, most nominated. I watched that. I found it a little confusing along the way, but quite compelling. And it starts with this whole depiction of the Tulsa 1921 massacre of the Black population there, the successful Black population. And that's quite riveting. And Regina King is riveting. So I'd recommend watching the first couple of episodes of Watchmen anyway. And Kate McKinnon again for Saturday Night Live. And Andre, doesn't Andre Brower play a gay character on Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I didn't watch it enough. I couldn't stay with it.
Hollywood, a lot of nominations, including Holland Taylor and Jim Parsons, out LGBT people. Titus Burgess on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Lots of RuPaul nominations for Drag Race. Top Chef, always a very gay show.
Queer Eye. Hannah Gadsby for Douglas.
Excuse me?
Hannah Gadsby.
Yes, Hannah Gadsby for Douglas. Queer Eye, We're Here, this new show on HBO that we watched this year that was three drag queens traveling America to all these really homophobic towns. I was glad to see them nominated. Wanda Sykes on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Laverne Cox.
Cherry Jones, Succession.
Yeah. Will and Grace, Andrew Scott, your favorite, on Black Mirror, Grace and Frankie.
Holland Taylor for Hollywood.
Yeah, Blackish has some strong gay storylines. American Masters often does LGBT stuff. Not gay, but Leah Remini. I can never resist Leah Remini in Scientology.
And Jim Parsons for playing the agent who discovered John Saxon.
Randy Rainbow for his YouTube show got nominated.
Randy!
And Circus of Books, the documentary about the erotic bookstore, the gay erotic bookstore run by the straight couple. But the heartbreak is no nominations for my favorite show, My Brilliant Friend.
I
don't know why it hasn't caught on, maybe because it's in Italian. It's such a brilliant, brilliant show. I can't recommend it highly enough. On HBO, you can get it on demand. It's a wonderful, wonderful story of two girls growing up in Naples post-World War II.
I saw a two-part play about it, but when this show gets canceled, I'm catching up on My Brilliant Friend on HBO.
So rich, so deep, so moving, My Brilliant Friend on HBO.
Yes.
And that's my final word for this week.
It's our final word, and we're down to 33 seconds.
Fill it.
Well, I you didn't want me to mention this, but the GLAAD Awards are this week on Facebook and YouTube on Thursday, July 30th at 8 o'clock Eastern, and on Logo, August 3rd at 8 o'clock Eastern also. And they've got a ton of performers, so at least you don't have to buy a ticket, and you could watch if you want to see the performances.
Well, that's nice, because some of these things do charge.
Bye-bye.
See you next week.